Welcome to Fresh Meat, a freewheeling podcast from Manifest Group, where we get to talk to some of the best creative minds from all around the world. Expect good chat, great advice, new insights, and a lot of inspiration. Don't forget to subscribe and share. I'm Kelly Smith. I'm Chief of Staff at Manifest Group, and I'll be your host for today's episode. I'll be joined by Claire Conser, CEO and founder of Conser Consulting. In this episode, we're talking about Black women in the comms industry. Whilst women's representation in PR and comms has seen modest gains over the years, Black women remain underrepresented. What does the industry need to do in order to attract and, more importantly, keep Black women within the space? Welcome to Manifest Fresh Meat. I am with Claire Conser from Conser Consulting.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So today, Claire and I are just going to talk about Black women in the industry and Claire's experience so far up until where she is and how you became the leader of your own business. So Claire, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you started?
Cool. So, as you can probably hear from my accent, I am a Mancunian, so grew up in Manchester, but my first, foray into PR was at Golin Harris, so it's now known as Golin. So back in, the early, mid-2000s, I started on the graduate scheme at Golin, working predominantly on kind of tech PR, and then moved into a bit more corporate stuff, and I was there for a good, nearly 7 years, I think. So, I really enjoyed my time there, was given lots of opportunities and things, and then it was after that I moved back to Manchester to carry on working in a couple of PR agencies and things there. I was at Havas as well, so part of Havas and their PR team for another 7 years as well, so a bit of a theme. And that's where I actually then started to do a bit more work on the operational side of things. So after a few years, kind of moved into an operations director role, working with clients, but also on the agency's operations too. And then mid-pandemic, decided I wanted a change. I'm not sure, I had a bit of a moment, thought I want to do something different. I was given an opportunity to go work at an independent agency actually called Social to head up their business development team, and I was there for a couple of years, and then earlier this year left and took some time to think about what I was going to do and decided to set up my own consultancies, like bringing in all my operational and marketing skills and stuff to help growing agencies and things with their operations.
Very brave.
A whirlwind.
Yeah, it has been a whirlwind. Were you scared to start your own company?
Very.
And were you scared because of the unknown? Were you scared because you weren't sure if you'd be accepted?
I think, a combination of the two. I mean, I was had a period of unemployment, so part of a restructuring redundancy. So I had a time when I didn't have a job to go to and was thinking about what I wanted to do next and looking for opportunities. And then from speaking to a few different agencies, that's where I started to think about setting up on my own. But then it's quite scary to think actually you're going to have to be responsible for yourself, no one to report into. And I think for me, actually looking back, because my husband used to say, he didn't say for a few years, I should think about setting up by myself. And when I think back on it, probably part of the fear was actually around, can I be as credible by myself in terms of setting up on my own, understanding what kind of prejudices people might have, or will people respect me as much if I am on my own, rather than having, a brand name of an agency behind me. It can be quite nerve-wracking. Mm. But then, because I was put into a situation where I guess I had nothing to lose, so I thought actually, a lot of self-reflection and thinking what skills I do have, what I can offer to people, going for it, and thought give it a try and see what happens. And so far, so good, it's working. But it's not, it definitely wasn't a decision that I took lightly.
No, I can't imagine it would be. It sounds quite daunting, and I applaud you for taking that step to do it by yourself, and by all accounts you're doing very well.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about the experiences of Black women. Now obviously we can't speak for everybody in the industry, but I just want to know what your experience has been in the industry. Have there been any standout partners, supporters for yourself?
I mean, I always say, especially in the early days of my career, it was actually quite a positive experience. looking back, I think I was probably in a bit of a bubble. You know, I was given, I got to work in a really big agency, great agency, with a really positive environment. I was given opportunities to progress. You know, I got promotions, I got to work on great campaigns without really having to ask for opportunities. You know, when I wanted to have a slight change of direction from tech to corporate, you know, the bosses supported that decision and made it happen for me. So I was kind of in a bit of a bubble there and thought that actually, hey look, hard work pays off for everybody.
Mm.
It's probably a bit later on that I saw that that's not the experience for all black women within the industry. But I think, you know, I have started to see, there have been people who have, I guess, supported and championed me throughout my career. So different stages, you know, at Golin, you know, the bosses that we had there, so Matt Neal and Jonathan Hughes, were really, really supportive in terms of, you know, encouraging me and challenging me right the way through to more recently. You know, there are people that I've met through work with things like the MEPR pros, so the likes of Elizabeth Bananuka, who everybody, a lot of people know.
Yeah, we all know and love Elizabeth 100%.
Who are just really good at being backing people and really encouraging you and, you know, helping you to see actually the skills and the value that you do have.
Yeah.
And to really encourage you and really encourage me. So I kind of, a few people that I feel like I've gotten something from.
Yeah.
At least within the industry, and people outside the industry, friends and family too, but I think industry wise, definitely people like that.
I think it's interesting because, like you say, you've had supporters from when you're at Golin,
yeah,
and just along your journey, which has been great. And for the most part, I think I could say the same. Certainly at Manifest, had a lot of supporters in Alex, Ali, Helen, who've really encouraged me,
yeah,
to fully realise my position and what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard because being a black woman in the industry, you often find that it's better just to step a little bit back out of the limelight and not fully come,
yeah,
out for fear of being labelled too loud, too aggressive, too confrontational, all those
so
things,
true,
right?
So
and so it's really difficult when you spend the majority of your career doing that and staying to the side, kind of being an observer and then putting your foot forward. So again, it's really, like you say, it's important to have people to champion you and do that.
It really is. I mean, I think, you know, when I got the role as operations director, that wasn't actually something that I had envisaged. It,
yeah,
was actually my boss at the time, Brian Beach. I'd been there for a few years, and he actually saw what I was bringing to kind of the teams and to the agencies. And I think for me, I'm grateful for that, because actually the response to me putting in that extra effort wasn't just keep her doing that work,
yeah,
almost for free.
Yeah.
They actually recognised that and then created a specific role. And,
yeah,
I think that is the type of, ideally, that's what we want to see more organisations doing, when they recognise people putting in more effort or creating, you know, new structures or whatever it is, actually then recognise it, acknowledging it and rewarding it,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah, forever grateful for that opportunity.
I'm sure your parents did this to you when you were younger, as mine did when I was growing up, but it's a case of you have to work harder than everybody else,
yeah,
to get to the same level as everybody else. And so the question is, what can we do to encourage more young black women to come out, to come into the industry, to put their best foot forward and to really just believe in their own ability?
I mean, it's hard. I think helping people to understand the industry better and the opportunities that are there. But also, I'd say, help, when they say you can't be what you can't see, so actually making other black women more visible within the industry. I mean, I do quite a few talks at Salford University, just, you know, the other side of Manchester, with some of their graduates and postgrad students. And actually, I received an email from one of them just a couple of months ago, and she talked about the fact that actually she didn't really see where she could fit within the industry, but the day I went in to go and do a talk, it actually helped her feel more, I guess, more confident, because being able to see somebody who'd been in the industry for a long time,
yeah,
and, you know, succeeded in, and had a long lasting career, for her it made her feel that little bit more confident,
yeah,
and be able to almost see herself further down the line and know there is a future there for. So, you know, as many women as possible who are doing the work now, make sure that people can see it and people can see you then offering that support to them as well.
No, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you've just said. Obviously, this month is Black History Month. The theme is celebrating our sisters.
Indeed.
So we're here to celebrate each other.
Indeed.
But I kind of feel that we need to look outside of the month of October in the UK.
Exactly.
The month of February in the US.
Yes.
And wherever else, you know, it just needs to be all year round.
Needs to be all year round.
And it's really nice to see people like yourself in the industry and putting yourself forward as an ambassador for Black women, but to also encourage a visual embodiment of encouragement for Black women, Black girls as well, to say, do you know what, there's more for me than being on a reality TV show or to being a musician or to be in a sport. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things.
Not at all.
But it's really nice to see women want to use their minds, their brains, you know, just to move forward and make a difference.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not all about aesthetics. You know, there are some people who are far more fortunate than myself and they do very, very well. But it's not just about that. And for me, it's refreshing to see more women of colour.
Definitely.
In the comms industry, just in general, like on TV, to your point, growing up, you can't be what you can't see, right? And growing up, I grew up, actually, I'm not going to say when because it would give my age away, but there wasn't a huge amount of representation, but there were a few, for want of a better term, tokens on TV, right? Now, I think that does those people a bit of a disservice to say that they were tokens because they paved their way in their own way, in their own time, right? So to call them tokens, I think that is a bit rude, but it would just be nice to have more...
Nice to have more representation, more authentic representation.
Yes, and less performative. Because I do feel that sometimes it can be performative. I do feel that it's often people like us who are tasked with educating the wider group.
Yeah.
And that can be a heavy burden
that
to carry.
It's a frustration, and it's, you know, when people talk about emotional labour, that is what it is. You know, asking a Black person to have to explain racism constantly is hard work. It's not just... Because it's not just a topic for them to discuss, it's an experience that they live through.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that person to be the one that has to educate a whole team or a whole business. You know,
yeah.
I'll always say it's fine to ask somebody to talk about their experiences, but they can't be the person that has to drive it. You know, Google is free. You can go out and... you know,
it's amazing what you can find.
You can go out and you can find people who are, you know, equipped with the right resources and... advice to be able to help agencies or organisations do better. There are plenty of organisations and consultants and consultancies that can do that. So whilst, yeah, it's great to be able to encourage people to talk about their lived experiences and what things mean to them and their perspective, because it adds that human element, you can't put that burden on them to be the one that has to train and to improve everything for you.
So to that point, just when we're looking at DE&I across loads of different companies, right? It's either one extreme or the other, right? You've either got a diversity panel or a diversity group within a company that are full of non-Black people, right? Or you've got the opposite, where they're all Black people, yeah. So there just needs to be a healthy balance, which I find people don't fully understand that balance that's required, because it's a responsibility of everybody, right?
Totally.
Just to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I definitely, sometimes in the office, I try to have difficult conversations out in the open because I feel that it's really important to create that safe space where people feel that they can share their opinion, whether it's liked by everybody or not. I'm not saying you've got to be like a raging racist or anything, but some people are scared to share their opinion because they feel that they're going to get mocked for it or people are going to think badly of them for it. And I think it's really important to encourage those conversations.
Yeah. People need to be... It's that whole... You need to be comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations, and that's the only way that you can actually address issues and learn from them and educate people, and then be able to create an environment where people know that they can share their thoughts and share their experiences.
Yeah.
And then actually then it makes it easier to embrace people if you know that people are confident,
of course,
to be able to share their thoughts.
Yeah. I just, we did training with the blueprint,
yeah,
with Elizabeth Blueprint, and it was really eye-opening,
yeah,
actually. And it was eye-opening from a perspective where I was watching my colleagues take in the content,
mm,
and be really shocked by it. And I was sitting there thinking, you're actually quite lucky that this is the first time that you're hearing it. And this is a lived reality for so many people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thank Elizabeth for doing that kind of training session. I definitely feel we need to do more of it. I just wonder if there's a better way of educating people.
I think,
because some people find it to be a bit of a burden and people find it to be a bit of a chore.
Yeah, and I think it's about, there are so many different routes that people can take. And I think the training, the blueprint training, it is challenging. It is challenging for a reason.
Yes.
But obviously it's for agencies that have done a lot of the groundwork to get to that point.
Mm.
So it's not created for agencies who've never done anything to address their diversity.
Yeah.
To suddenly, you know, to say tomorrow, right, let's go and do this training, because actually it wouldn't work for them.
Mm.
I think there's different types of training or different opportunities depending on what stage of that process,
yeah,
you're at. So I think if you can find ways to help people to understand, you know, things like unconscious bias. I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with unconscious bias training, because I think sometimes it doesn't necessarily always do the job, or people do it and then don't do anything about it,
yeah,
afterwards. So there's a place for it, for people to understand, yes, everybody,
yeah,
has unconscious biases, but it's about how you then check them and work on them after that. So there's unconscious bias training, but, you know, there are other resources that people can use. I mean, at my previous workplace, one of the things that we tried to create was a bit of a knowledge hub for people,
right,
that had a full range of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to make sure that it was done in a way that it could address the different ways that people like to learn and understand. So we had film recommendations on there, documentaries, podcasts, books, research reports and articles that address so many different areas to do with diversity inclusion. So
mm-hmm.
It was to do with things to do with race, things to do with sexuality, things to do with disability. So to help people find, because often people say, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to look.
Yeah.
So the aim of that was to try and help people as a starting point to say, okay, then, if you don't understand this topic, here's one way you could find out a little bit more about it. It wasn't obviously, you know, an exhaustive list you could always be added to, but it helped people to at least make a start in terms of understanding certain issues and how some of those issues then impact people's day-to-day life. I mean, you know, there was one then, When They See Us, the film about the, yeah,
Central
which
Park
is, Park. Yeah, on so many different levels, it's just, yeah, even
chokes
thinking
you
about it, it really, really chokes me. I remember a colleague then coming to me afterwards and saying that they'd watched it, and it was just like really, really such an eye-opener for them. And, you know, I think that really helped them to understand, to an extent, what some of the issues that black boys in particular can be going through. Even though that's in, you know, it was in America and it wasn't happening right now, we know that those types of situations could very still happen.
Yeah.
And I say openly, as the mother of black boys, that's the type of thing you get particularly scared about and nervous about in terms of their treatment by the justice system,
yeah,
as they start to go out into the world.
Mm.
And in a way, knowing that somebody's watched that helps them start that conversation. So
yeah,
it's not just me being the only black woman in the office saying, this is an issue for me.
Yes.
It's being able to kind of trigger that conversation. So I'm losing my train of thought now.
It's totally fine.
I
think
other ways to help to educate people,
yeah,
for people to be able to understand different issues. Because if you haven't lived them, it's hard to understand them, but find different resources to understand them better.
I mean, what I find difficult, right, is when you have non-black people going to diversity and inclusion training things, and, oh, I'm on this diversity panel, and I just think to myself, I guess this is something that I have to fix with myself, because everybody has an experience that they can speak to regardless of where they're from, right?
Yeah.
But I just think that when you see non-black women on diversity panels and say, oh yeah, I'm doing this. Like, how are you a representation for diversity when, and this is a really bad generalization, so I need to choose my words, but it's kind of like, you're almost part of the issue, but then you're on a panel that's supposed to solve the problem.
I think it depends on what
the topic is
and what the goal and aims of that particular diversity panel are. So, because obviously, you know, diversity can cover so many different issues, whether it's to do with gender, race, sexuality, disability. So it depends what they are there, for, and are they, but as long as they're not kind of taking the place of somebody else and speaking
on
their behalf, like it's quite complex, probably isn't the word, but that, you know, it's intersectional. There are so many different things that cross over and need to be considered. So I think it depends what that panel is about and what it's trying to achieve.
I often find that diversity, people hide behind diversity because it's such a broad
term,
right? And it, you know, when companies say, oh, we're really diverse, we've got like 75% females, and it's just like, okay, we're looking for more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't be selective.
we'll
pick the thing that looks the best.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, I find that quite challenging. I mean, I think I'll move on to something, to positives, because I think it's really important that, you know, we acknowledge that there are positives happening more so than have been.
Definitely.
And seeing groups like, so Join Our Table.
Yes, yeah.
So
that's just launched
at the start of the week,
yeah.
Which for me is so refreshing. Like, you know, I came up, I've been working in the comms industry for over 20 years, and not seeing very many faces like my own, and maybe seeing a couple here and there, and really trying to hold on to that one ally, because it was just like, this is my safe space. To seeing more groups like that has been really refreshing, and I just hope that we can encourage groups like that to really shout about what they're doing, so that everybody can see it and everybody can be a part of it.
Definitely.
and it's not siloed.
Yeah, it really is. It's great to see, and I think, you know, over the past few years, I think because there've been so many more opportunities for people to create these groups and networks, it's really encouraging that people are coming together as well. I think that's what's nice about it, and people are really supportive of each other. I think I'd say probably in the past maybe like 4 or 5 years, I really feel like now I'm probably much more part of a community.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to things like BME PR Pros and other groups as well, I probably know now more Black and Asian and mixed race people within our sector than ever before. And not just knowing them, but also it feels like there's a real sense of, I guess, people having each other's backs as
community.
Well. So yeah, a real community in terms of, you know, friendship and support. You know, if somebody goes and does a great piece of work, everybody's like backing them. If somebody goes off and starts their own business or something, or starts their own initiative, there's a real sense of community and people backing each other, which I know definitely for at least the first half of my career, I never really saw that. But maybe that's thanks to just things like, you know, just social media and things that now I see more people easily.
Yeah.
I see more of those people easily and connect with them. But it is things have definitely improved. They're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I think the more people work together and connect and kind of support each other, then hopefully we can make more change.
They've come along leaps and bounds. I remember going to, so Alex Myers, the CEO of Manifest, is a mentor for BME PR Pros for the ZEC.
Yes, yeah.
And he was doing a speech at the end of their season of their academic year, and I went along to support, as you do, and I was listening to the cohort speak, and it actually moved me to tears, because for the first time I had seen people like myself. I wasn't looking out for the other Black people in the room.
Yeah.
There was a whole room full of them speaking so eloquently
honestly,
about their subjects. and just, it was so refreshing to see that, you know, so refreshing, and to be a part of it.
Yeah, the ZEC is such a brilliant scheme for so many reasons. So I've been a mentor actually for the first 2 years of the programme, and I think aside from the great kind of, I guess, professional training it gives people, that opportunity that I don't think anybody else within this industry would have, to be able to actually really, really build a bond and connection and, you know, work with a group of people that look like you. It's a unique opportunity. I every year I'm like, I wish I had something like that. And you see them at the end of the process, and it is just really, really moving, because I think there's a real kind of personal journey, sorry with that word, but they do tend to go on a personal journey in terms of understanding who they are as people, who they are as leaders, but also, you know, thinking about themselves through the lens of race as well. I think they come out as different people, but a really connected group, and they've had this experience that they'll always be able to share. And I think I wish there were opportunities for more people to be able to go through the ZEC. You know, I'm going to get on my high horse now. I think it's great when organisations do things to try to attract young people into the sector from, you know, underrepresented groups and communities. It's great. Go and talk to universities, go and talk to colleges, get them in. But that is just one part of addressing the diversity issue. And you have to be able to put the work in to keep people in the sector, to try to ensure that we're getting more people in leadership roles in those communities as well. So opportunities like the ZEC, whilst it can only currently support just a handful of people, we need more things like that. We need to be able to support more people to get into those senior roles, because once they are in senior roles, obviously change will happen much faster. Yeah. So yeah, I'm waving my flag for the ZEC because I think it's amazing.
No, 100%. Like I said, it moved me to tears when I heard them speaking, because again, like, they, you know, the group spoke so well just about their field and what they'd experienced, etc. But more importantly, just seeing the group together, the way they'd come together, and knowing that it's not a competition.
Yeah.
Because I find oftentimes that people pit one against the other, right? And that's a problem when there aren't
that
many.
Exactly, when there's so few. And it's like, oh, actually, we've only got space for one black person, so you're going to have to be...
Exactly. So, joke it out.
It's the white woman against the white man against the white.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow, you know.
Yeah.
And there's only ever so much room.
So that was quite refreshing, and leads quite nicely into my next question about recruitment, because I know that I've struggled to find... And actually, not to find, because that's the wrong term, it's to attract the right pipeline, because I know there are people out there. I know that there are people out there in the world looking for a job, looking for a start to get their foot in that door. What can we do in order to attract people to step forward? Because again, as part of the blueprint, there are commitments for job descriptions, etc., and interviewing and all of that, and that's really good. But what can we do as an industry to encourage more people of colour, but black women in particular, to step forward and put their hat in the ring?
I do think this, again, it's around obviously helping people to see the sector and the opportunities that are there, but then go and, you know, find where they are, go and see where are black women looking for roles, what are they reading, what are they listening to, finding ways to get in front of them then. So, I don't know, you know, Black Ballad, for example, that's the first thing that came to mind when I thought, well, what do black women read, just because I read that? What are the opportunities to kind of get in front of publications like that?
We've got Toby coming in to Manifest for at the end of the month for Creative Safari series, and the work that she's been doing is great.
Brilliant. So, you know, she's absolutely brilliant. So looking there, where are, you know, women reading? And also I think actually thinking about where else they're, you know, black women are working in terms of the type of skills that you want, you know. I think a lot of, how can I put this? Looking at headhunting, for example, there are so many agencies out there who've, you know, we've heard of agencies that have gone and headhunted former journalists, former MPs, or whatever it might be, who have no experience of running an agency, but will somehow get a job as a director of X agency, right? And that's because they've got a certain set of skills or networks or whatever it might be that that agency wants to tap into. So why can't we have that approach with other sets of skills that they might be looking for? Not everybody needs to have worked in an agency for, as we know, needs to work in an agency for 8 years to be able to do a certain job. So actually maybe think about, well, what is it that we want, what are the particular skills or things that we want to tap into, where else can we go and find them? So rather than just relying on the current pipeline of people working in agencies, think about other sectors and things that might be able to bring those skills and look that way. I haven't got an example of what sector that might be, but you know, I just think that we see it happening, like I say, with certain parts of the industry. So why can't we, you know, replicate that? Really, really think about what actually, what are the skills and things that you really, really want from somebody, and where else can we find them?
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. I kind of think sometimes if you go fishing in the same pond, you're going to get the same fish.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
So you have to broaden, spread your net, cast your net a little bit wider.
I mean, even on the journalism example, though, there are increasing numbers of black women journalists who I follow. Not to say that everybody should go and start poaching them from wherever it is they're working.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, when we do see the headlines about a journalist that's been poached from X newspaper or X magazine, the majority of the time it's the white men, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas actually, there are black female journalists that could easily be poached, you know.
Yeah.
That's just one suggestion.
No, I hear you. I just find it really frustrating, especially looking for diverse talent and coming up empty-handed. And I don't want to be a black woman saying that there are no black people that can do the job, so we're just going to go for someone else. I don't want to give up that easily.
No.
But I do find it really frustrating that we can't, that I can't pull that pipeline and, you know, generate the pipeline that I want to generate. And to your point, you know, companies like Black Ballad are really good for amplifying any kind of message about, you know, just look at what black women can do and look at what black women are doing.
Exactly.
And listen to our voice. And it's not just about being angry.
Yeah.
You know, I've just the thing is, even if I am angry, there's probably a reason for it. You know, like, sometimes people will say that you can be, like, black women can be aggressive and unapproachable, which can be really difficult and can be quite hurtful.
It is. And it's something that always sticks in the back of your mind, though. Like, for a long time, I've very rarely been the person that would swear in an office because in the back of my mind, you know, you don't want to be that angry black woman. So actually, generally, any of my colleagues would know that if Claire swears, you know that actually
something really bad
has happened. Because I can't be, as some people might be a bit more jokey and, you know, whatever, ethical blinding all the time.
Mm.
If I do that, there's that, you know, thinking, well,
there's something
wrong. Perceived a certain way. So I have to.
You write it in. It's kind of like when your parents call you by your full name and you know you're in trouble, right? Yeah. Like, my mom, Kelly, I'm like, oh gosh, what have I done? No, I hear that. I just, it's nice to have this conversation and not feel that people are rolling their eyes in the back of their head, you know, being like, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that everybody does it, because they don't do it, but sometimes you often feel that you're on a soapbox and you're talking, and it's like charity fatigue, right? When when marathon comes around and everyone's collecting money for the marathon, you're like, okay, I haven't got money for everybody. And it's that kind of fatigue when you start talking about this stuff that I almost feel is an unspoken fatigue in the room, where people are like, oh God, not again, you know, here we go.
But then if people pull their finger out and did something about it, you wouldn't have to know about it as much.
That's true.
Put it that way, so stop rolling your eyes and you know, pull your finger out, and then, hey, guess what, maybe we won't have as much to moan about.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, I know, like, look, it's something that I like to talk about it a lot, because I just feel like we have to keep on reminding people
yeah.
about these issues in a bid to try and make it easier for those people that are coming into the industry now. Like I say, I know I had a lucky start, and maybe it's a bit of, not guilt, that's probably not the right word, but knowing that I felt I had a good start, I feel like I need to almost pay it forward and try to help
yeah.
to make it easier for other people. So we need to keep on having these conversations and challenging people. And
I think paying it forward is a really good way of looking at it, right, in terms of just giving that person behind you, just, it's like holding the door open for somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that simple.
That's
it. Like holding the door open for somebody and just giving them the opportunity just to quickly step through and not spill their tea or, you know, I kind of like that. And I, you know, I hope that we can encourage more people to get involved in the conversation. And it doesn't need to be part of any kind of training or part of Black History Month. It can be
ongoing.
It's any day of the
yeah.
week, and not to be afraid to approach and to ask a question.
Yeah.
Right. And I think sometimes people can be afraid
yeah.
to ask a question. And I also feel that sometimes Black women, they get judged more in the work environment, because obviously we were talking about when they see us and how Black boys are treated.
Yeah.
And I think that non-white people are more forgiving of Black men in the business than they are of Black women. Now, when I say that, I mean because if I were to say something, oh, you know, Claire's got her tea, it's too strong or something, and they'd be like, oh, well, Kelly's complaining about Claire's tea. Whereas if a Black male came along and said, oh, Claire's tea is really strong, oh, ha, 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 that's really funny, right? The same content
yeah.
is perceived differently. And I kind of feel that we need to level the playing field a little bit or a lot,
yeah.
right, for Black women and Black men to be equal and to be judged the same as everybody else, to be given the same opportunity as everybody else, and to break those stereotypes. I'm not an angry Black woman, you know. I'm tired a lot of the time. and I do get angry.
Yeah,
but more often than not, there is a reason. You know, I don't waste my anger, my energy for nothing. But more often than not, I'm the nicest person you'll ever meet, if I do say so myself. And you can ask my mum. She'll say it's true. But what I like to do, I like to make people feel comfortable whenever they are in my presence. I'd like to people to feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to feel included.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm the same. I like to think that I'm a good person. I want to encourage people, and I like people to feel comfortable in my presence.
Yeah.
That's all you want, isn't
yeah.
it? You want to be able to engage with somebody, to be able to have good conversations with them.
Yeah.
And not for them to automatically feel intimidated or whatever just because they're in the same room as a
yeah.
Black woman who might happen to have an opinion or whatever it might be.
Mm.
I like to think I'm not, you know, too intimidating or anything, but
I mean,
some people might say I am.
I don't think you are at all in the slightest.
Thanks.
I used to have a colleague be like, Kelly's great, but she can be really scary, and it's just like,
where does that come from?
My friend.
Yeah.
How am I scary?
And that's what people need to learn, though. They need to kind of check themselves to work out where is that coming from.
Yeah.
I had, it's quite a long time ago now, there was a client contact, not even my main client, who found it difficult to take recommendations from me, to the point where we ended up at one point, I think I was about to go on maternity leave, so actually I couldn't be bothered to argue with it. And I did kind of think, is she difficult with me because I'm Black or because I'm a female? Not sure, never really
yeah.
got to the bottom of it. But because I was going to be leaving anyway, a different colleague who was actually a white male who was going to be kind of taking my place on leading that project. And what was interesting, though, was that actually as we started to hand over, and sometimes I would pass on the recommendations to him to give to her, she was much more accepting of his recommendations, or the recommendations from him,
yes.
I should say, than when I could give them, even though he's saying exactly the same thing that I would have said. But you know, almost wanted to say to all, why is it now that you're okay?
Yeah.
With that, where is that coming from? And some people just can't, as nice as they will be to everybody, they will just struggle to take, I guess, leadership or recommendations or guidance, being told what to do by, sometimes by a woman, sometimes by someone who's black.
Yeah.
And so for some of us, we're taking both of those boxes, so
right, yeah.
They're going to struggle to take it.
Mm. Yeah, I just, because there's a lot of gaslighting in the industry as well. I've experienced it quite a bit, and it's just so frustrating.
It's tiring.
It really is. Just, like, can you hear yourself? Because sometimes I question myself when I hear certain things and people responding in a certain way to me and trying to dismiss my opinion or my thoughts. Now, I'm not saying I need to bend over, and I'm not saying I'm right all of the time, even though I am right most of the time. But when people question, make you question how you feel.
Yeah.
That for me is a struggle, and it's something that I think a lot of people, like you say, need to check themselves when they walk into the room and think, hang on a minute, how am I going to approach Kelly versus how I approach someone else?
Yeah.
So Tracy or whoever else in the room. I just want people to do better, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the short version. I think Privilege Mountain can be very, very high. And I think sometimes people need to come down from there. Just have a little look around, you know. Maybe help somebody else up to that peak that you sit up there from and judge and cast aspersions.
Yeah, you're right, though. Trying to bring yourself to other people's levels or putting yourself in other people's situations to try to understand their perspective.
Yeah.
You know, why is it that a person might react in such a way to a particular comment or action, because there'll often be a reason for it. So just trying to put yourself in their shoes for once and understand, it's, you know, it's not always easy, you can't always relate to it, but you can try to understand what that person might be going through and then think about, okay, then how can you then do better based on that?
I mean, I think the short version is that what the industry and people in the industry, non-black people in the industry, need to do is just open the door. Hold it open.
Yeah.
You know, hold it open and maybe wave a neon sign. But just hold it open and say, listen, come in, feel welcome, do what you need to do. Like, we dropped one of my oldest friends, we dropped her son off to university the other week, which was great. We're packing his fridge in the kitchen area and stuff. I've never seen so much dollar fries in my life.
Sounds like heaven.
And I was just like, this is amazing. This is so amazing that there are so many black children in university. And then we were checking in on him and we just said, how are you getting on? What are the rest of your dorm mates like? And he said, they're all black apart from one white boy. He's Albanian. And I just said to him, okay, so just make sure that you bring him in and make him feel welcome.
Yeah.
And don't live up to the stereotypes that he has seen as, he may have seen as he's been growing up. And that's kind of what we need to do in this industry.
We need that to be innate, don't we? To always want to bring people in and to make people feel...
Bring people in. Don't assume, you know, like... People see my brother, my older brother, he's got tattoos on his arms, shaved head, everything, but like, oh yeah, he's probably into like gangster rap and everything. My brother listens to the Pixies, if you know who they are, not many people do, and the most random selection of music. And he goes against every kind of stereotype that you would have.
You might associate with a black man.
With a black man, with a tall, muscly black man.
Yeah.
Right, it goes against everything. We've just got to hopefully help people push those stereotypes out of their minds.
Push away the stereotypes and see us as people rather than just kind of caricatures or anything.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking in Black History Month, and it's good because people need to remember that black people themselves, we aren't a monolith, we aren't just one, we have so many different cultures and histories and everything.
Mm.
And it's important for people to see that we are within, you know, that title of black people.
Yeah.
There's still diversity within
of course, yeah.
that as well.
You know, there's a difference. There's, you know, there's Caribbean,
yeah.
there's African.
Which is
the
truth of the black people is a number of countries.
Exactly.
You know, with so many different histories and stories and experiences to,
yeah.
to learn about.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just, I feel privileged that I'm able to talk to you about this. I feel privileged that Manifest have encouraged me to have this conversation with you because I do believe it's important. We're chipping away, but definitely we need to chip more,
yeah.
maybe use a bigger chisel. But yeah, I want to continue the conversation.
We have to continue the conversation, yeah.
Maybe we make it like an annual thing, just not on Black History Month. But yeah, just encourage people to come through and see me first as Kelly or see you first as Claire versus see me first as a black woman
yeah.
with the stereotype that you might attach with that. You know, what do I bring to the table? What does Claire bring to the table that can really help us, that can help us stand out from the crowd and help us stand out not just because Claire and Kelly are black,
yeah.
but what diversity of thought do they bring to our table,
yeah.
you know? And I think that's what the industry needs to encourage and to pursue. We need to pay it forward.
Definitely.
Everybody needs to pay it forward, regardless of where you come from. And just let people in, man.
Let people in and... like hire, support, promote. Those are my three things that people need to do once you get somebody in the door.
Yeah,
make sure that you are supporting them. It's easy to say equal opportunities, but actually not all things are equal for everybody.
Yeah.
So make sure you're putting things in place to support those people.
Yeah,
to the, and then make sure you're giving the opportunities to be able to progress and be promoted throughout the
yeah.
business.
Because oftentimes you can just get to, you can plateau, right?
Yeah.
And you just stay there. That,
yeah.
I was at my previous agency, I won't name, for a really long time. And I kind of felt that I plateaued.
Yeah.
And it was only once I spoke to Manifest about the role that I would play at Manifest,
yeah.
I started to feel a bit more accepted and
yeah.
appreciated for what I can do and what I can bring to the table
yeah.
versus, oh, we're just going to leave Kelly there because
yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, she's okay there. She likes doing that.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to do anything else. And sometimes that might be true.
That might be true,
but not all
give
the
people
time.
Opportunity.
And people need the opportunity to step away from that comfortable spot that they have. And not, you know, it's everybody. It's not just black women,
mm-hmm.
but black women in particular, I think we need to be seen more than just, you know, beauty ambassadors, you know, and more about our intellect and about our personality.
Mm-hmm.
What we bring that's different to the table. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next in the industry. I want to be part of the change that's happening in the industry. And I think conversations like this, hopefully we get loads of you listeners even. Conversations like this will encourage more conversations
yeah.
to happen and open that dialogue for everybody. And potentially next time it would be a diverse group of people
yeah.
to have that conversation because it needs to happen. It's really, really important. But yeah, I've really enjoyed our chat today.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Right. There'll be more conversations to be had. We need to keep on talking about these things, keep on bringing more people into the conversation to
yeah.
be able to have change. And, you know, yes, conversation is important, then we also need the actions
yes.
to go with it and the accountability to
yes.
hold people to account.
But it starts somewhere.
It starts somewhere.
And it starts with a conversation.
Indeed.
And it starts with the opening of the door,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So come on in. And join our table. I think it's a great name.
It is.
And it's perfect.
It is.
Because it's, you know, everybody does deserve a seat at the table and everybody deserves to have the same standard of meal as everybody else.
Exactly. exactly, it will happen.
I hope so. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
So have I. You know, sunny Manchester. Not no, so sunny, it was raining when I arrived.
Standard.
There were police with guns at the station, obviously because of the conference today. So hopefully they'll be like quite calm and tame. Rishi Sunak will not be going through the station on my way home. I'm hoping. Yeah, but it's been great.
It's been fun
being down here.
So
thank you.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to Spotify or Apple Podcasts so you never miss an episode, and stay fresh.